Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
And welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and we have got such a great... Oh, my God. I'm busting out of my skin. You're just going to love this woman. Her name is Belinda Farrell. And before we get to Belinda, because I'm going to just have to share a couple of things with my audience. Number one, please, the newsletter went out. My first monthly newsletter went out yesterday. And if you'd like to be on the mailing list, all you need to do is send an email to info@RebeccaNorrington.com, info@RebeccaNorrington.com, and we will put you on the mailing list. And in the subject box, just say, add me to the mailing list, and it's free monthly, and you'll get a lot of great information. And next month, I'm having a question and answer. So you ask me whatever question you want, and I will answer it up on the newsletter. Today's show, let me just say something. Reality Spirituality, this show is about dissecting our everyday lives just to discover why we're not as happy as we could be. And more than being happy, you know, this happiness is an internal happiness. That's the happiness that I'm talking about, a happiness that comes from within, a happiness that is your foundation, a happiness that is so solid, no matter what happens to you, no matter what your external circumstances is, you are going to be connected. You are going to live connected to the universe, to source energy, and that is what this show is about. To share with my audience tools and strategies and information, and that is exactly what Belinda Farrell is going to do for us today. And before I introduce Belinda, I have to read, her bio. And I never read people's bio, you know that. But this woman, listen to this. Belinda Farrell has overcome major life challenges, the suicide of her son, a complete financial loss, a healing degenerate spine without surgery, but all was not lost. By using ancient Hawaiian techniques, and listen to this, audience, is what we talk about all the time, and accepting responsibility for every aspect of her life, she was able to rise from the ashes and find her friggin' joy. And that is the name of her book. I mean, you know you have to love this woman when it says the name of the book is Find Your Friggin' Joy. Now, Belinda, if it was me, I would use the real world word, but Find Your Friggin' Joy.
It gets people to laugh, doesn't it?
Oh, it's the best. And this I have to say this, and this is a no-nonsense book, just like this show, no-nonsense for those people who are willing to take an active part in their healing. Active part, yeah. It's our own personal responsibility, dear audience. And her chapter two is entitled Sissies Turn Back. So there's another word for sissies that we could use, but we're not going to use that. Actually, I would use it, but because this book challenges you at the core level to face what everyone must face in order to be free. And that's what we're talking about, this freedom, this living without any attachments, this living without any expectations, judgments, all of this heaviness. Belinda, hello. Welcome to Recovery Company.
Well, aloha. Aloha. It's a real honor to be on your show, Rebecca, and share what I have learned, because I've certainly come from a lot of fear, like most of us, and, you know, we have to go to those depths in order to see what the difference is. It's like the blind man doesn't know what darkness is because he's never been in light. So you have to have that contrast.
Yes. And the contrast is so important. And the interesting thing is, for me, the contrast, you know, I used to say it's so uncomfortable. Growth is so uncomfortable. It just feels, it, you know, it doesn't feel good. And I would say that it doesn't feel good for a long time. But now what I'm saying is it just feels different than the other. I'm even taking the label off of it doesn't feel good. It just feels different. And in the beginning, yes, it is uncomfortable, but come on, but what you find is heaven on earth. That's what you're discovering. We can actually heaven on earth.
Yeah, no, it's true, because it's all done on the inside. And when I started to learn the ancient Hawaiian teachings, I started to feel lighter. I started to feel better. And it was based on forgiving ourselves for the way we were attached to a person or to an event or to a thing. And when we unplugged from that, when we dissolved the way we were looking at it, we were free. We were, I would feel literally, you know, connected back to a bigger source rather than my agenda that I had, that it had to be a certain way.
Yes. Now, you know, you said this thing about forgiveness. It's such a big topic. In fact, a book that I contributed a chapter to that's going to be released next month, I wrote a whole section on forgiveness. And talk about, you know, it's easy to say, well, you know, forgive this person or forgive myself, but it's really what forgiveness really is basically you are supplying yourself with a life. When you don't have this ability to forgive, you're really poisoning yourself in every moment, every day.
Absolutely. And when you keep that poison inside of you, you can't move forward. And the whole purpose of your life is to fulfill what you came here to do based on your soul's journey. And when you get in touch with that and you start doing what you were meant to do, you really feel fulfilled. And holding on to the past, holding on to the way that you've been invested in these old thought forms of anger and fear and hurt and sadness, all of that weighs you down. You only have so much energy that you're given a day. If you put it in money form, let's say you're only given $100 a day of energy, and you spend $80 of it, you know, yelling at the guy who you know, crosses you when you're on your way to work and doesn't let you in the lane, you know, that you're driving, and the veins start popping out of your head, and, you know, you just lose your temper. By the time you get to work, you're a mess. And let's say you have $20 left and your boss yells at you, and by the time you go home, all you want to do is sit on the couch.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You don't have any energy left. So it's really, it's all about our energy and what do you want to spend it on. And so we need our energy in our bank account in order to fulfill our creative talents.
Now, I love that, and I love the way that you use the analogy of the money. That's a really good visual, and people always understand money.
Money, yes.
Yeah, money. So, what can you give us some very simple steps? How do we start? Where do we begin?
Well, it's again like you decide to clean your closets one day, you know, because you can't get anything more in your closet. So you start there with just starting to say, well, I don't need that. I don't need that outfit. I never wear that. And so you start extracting. It's almost like you unplug. You decide, I don't need that story anymore. For instance, when my back collapsed from herniated discs and nerve damage, I found out that my inner script, So let's say my closet. In my closet, I was saying to myself, I cannot support myself. And I didn't know I was saying that consciously. It wasn't until I went inside and started to do kind of a deep excavation. But I realized that all my life I had been saying, because I was trained to say that, somebody else has to support me. Your family has to support me. A husband has to support me. But I can't support myself. So my unconscious mind, which runs my body, it's like a computer, listened to that all my life. And I had back trouble. I was born with scoliosis. I had to wear a brace for the first 2 years of my life. I had a pregnancy where I had back labor. There was all this back weakness. And then finally, and I was also a stunt car driver, so I hurt my back a lot when I was driving race cars, Formula Fords, and finally collapsed with all this back trouble, and the doctors told me I wouldn't walk again unless I had surgery. And I had been learning this ancient Hawaiian healing for 3 years, learning how to unplug and learn my script and all of that. So I thought, well, I really have to see if this works. So I went inside, listened to my script, brought up memories, started to do all the ha breathing, which is mentioned in the book. The whole recipe is mentioned, exactly what I did to overcome this. And then memories started to come up that were lodged in my back and lower buttocks. And they were absolutely unaware to me that I was holding such thought forms. But as soon as those came up and they got released by my body, my healing began in a huge, huge way. And, I just, again, thought I was going through a near-death experience when they were coming up. But you have to just stick with it. The body knows how to let it go. And then it can concentrate on the healing. Once the pipeline is free from all these thought forms, the anger, the fear, the hurt, the sadness, by doing these ha breathing exercises, by cutting the cords, by dissolving the way you're looking at it through your higher self, then you can begin to send up the desires up to your higher self, which heals you. And I started to see myself climbing trees. And you have to have a very strong back to climb trees. But all my unconscious mind needed to feel was the excitement that I was going to have of climbing trees. So
yeah,
once
yeah.
I gave the unconscious that excitement, oh, my God, look at, I'm just so flexible. Yay. It sent that up the pipeline, which was now free from all the other garbage that I had dislodged from. And then the higher self was able to bring it down inside of me, change the DNA. And I walked again. I had a completely new spine. The scoliosis was gone. I haven't had back trouble like that. This has been 15 years ago.
Well, my goodness. I'm sitting here. I usually do a lot of talking, but I'm just fascinated by your story, and I know my listeners are on the edge of their seats too, because we're talking about real life here, people, real life. And one of the things I want to say before we get to this place of healing, one of the things that I know, at least for me, and another thing I tell my audience, we are all so different. We're as different as our fingerprints. So what works for me might not work for my audience. And so just the first thing before all of this healing, you have to really want it. You have to really commit to wanting something different, just wanting to feel different. And when I say commit, I mean commit like your life depended on it. And
you are absolutely right.
Yeah, and also know that, my dear audience, this takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. When a baby is born, we don't start screaming and yelling at the baby to hurry up and walk. Or when you plant a rose bush, you hurry up and bloom. So it takes time. And in reality, there is no, the universe, there is no clock. Clock time is man-made. So be patient. Make the commitment, but also be patient and know and trust that things will be different and things will change if you make the commitment.
You're absolutely right. And it has to resonate with that person. I mean, what I did with myself, because I had so been attracted to the Huna and the ancient Hawaiian chants, that this mm-hmm. resonated with me. And I was convinced deep in my soul that it was going to work. And if it didn't, then I was going to be cut. I didn't want to have surgery. I was married to an orthopedic doctor, and I remember hearing about a lot of his failed back surgeries. And I did not want to be cut, and I didn't have insurance at the time, so I was so motivated to do the self-healing. And I had studied it for years. You know, you have to, like you say, you have to be committed. I was fully committed. And it took about a month. I was in bed for a month on codeine. I couldn't move. I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit. I couldn't stand. And so I had time to work on it. And when I was finally concentrating and doing this, it was about 4 days that after that 4 days, I started to feel completely better again.
Oh my goodness! What a great, great story, and a true story. And everybody, and that's another thing. Everybody is going to have their own unique story with their own unique issues and challenges, if you will. You talk about consciousness on three different levels. What can you explain to my audience what you mean consciousness on three levels?
Well, we're conscious when we have to think about something. You know, we have to consciously think about cleaning our house or going to work, and then we get unconsciously competent. You know, we start doing things just by rote, just by memory, because we've done it so many times. And then, again, you know, you become completely devoid of all of that, and you just become unconscious. You know, we just start doing things at this unconscious level, and it guides us to what, like, I have to have the ritual every night of cutting my cords. It's part of my ritual of cleaning up everything during the day. What did I invest in during the day? And I don't want to have any attachments at the end of the day when I go to bed. I want to sleep so that, you know, everything is detached from me, so I can see what creation is going to stir up for me in my dreams. So again, you know, we just become more competent at the unconscious level, and that's the part that's running our body. That's the part that's like a little computer, and it's holding all of our thought forms until we are ready to let them go, until we say, okay, I think I've had enough of that. So we start breathing, and when you start doing this deep ha breathing, it gives permission for the unconscious mind to open up the, let's say, Pandora's box of things that we're holding inside. It's our stuff. It's our purse. You know, we have things in our belonging that's only, you know, valuable to us. And because we're shifting, and like you say, there is no time, because we've invented that, we don't want to spend that time on things that don't serve us to our highest good anymore. We're moving in a very upward and, you know, like an upgrade we're getting.
Yeah.
So we don't want to keep stuff like that inside.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because we, you know, I wasn't taught to live consciously. Most of my life have been unconscious behaviors and unconscious reactions and unconscious words, and now when I say live consciously, I mean I'm aware of everything I'm saying, of every consequence of what I'm saying. And one of the things that I say, and I've told my audiences before, is before I say or do anything, I ask myself the question, what am I creating? What am I creating for myself? What am I creating for the other person? And if the answer ain't peace, my mouth is quiet. Yeah.
That's brilliant. I mean, because it's a full-time job to be conscious.
Oh, and it's it's something that was that when I first started, it was very unfamiliar. Living conscious, living consciously means being aware of everything. Just aware of your response to everything and everyone. And
yes.
It's in the beginning, it wasn't easy. And another thing I tell my audience is, you know what, just practice it for maybe 10 minutes a day. I'm not going to ask you for, maybe you can only do it for 1 minute. But when you practice makes, as my wonderful friend says, practice makes progress. But just start in small little bites.
Right.
Yay, and makes a commitment. What do you suggest for someone who is thinking, what the hell are they talking about?
Well, it helps you to listen to what is speaking through you, what the real truth is. Everybody knows when something doesn't feel right. But sometimes they don't act upon it. Like, let's say you start a new relationship, but there's some red flags that go on with that person that's coming in front of you. But you don't pay attention to it because, you know, love is blind. And so you kind of move forward, but you think, God, I knew those red flags were there. I just didn't act on it. So it's like really listening to the truth, knowing that, you know what the truth is all the time, and then just acting on that before it becomes a mistake, and then you have to say, oh, I wish I had acted on that. You just start practicing acting on it from the get-go, from the beginning.
Yeah, you know, this is another great point you're bringing up, another great point. it's our intuition. It's our other senses that we are not taught or we don't practice using. But excuse me for a second, I have to actually drink some water. Hold on.
Okay.
Okay, I'm back. it's a sense that, is this show reality or what? It's a sense that it's actually one of our most powerful senses. It's the energy. You can feel someone's energy. I remember I was reading a story about a doctor, and she had a stroke, and she wasn't able to talk. But she was in the hospital, and she could feel, and the doctors and the nurses didn't think that she could communicate. But she could feel people's energy coming in the room, and she could feel if a doctor really cared about her or if he was just doing a job. She could feel a nurse just cared about her, and she could feel people's energy. So if we just kind of shift our senses to letting our intuition or our sixth sense, if you will, take over, it's very, very powerful.
Yes. And the more truthful you are with yourself, the more you're able to clean your house, in other words, you know, to clean these other things that are detached from the way you're, you know, holding any kind of anger or resentment, then the more energy you have to spend on this intuition. You know, you just have more energy.
Yes, yes. Well, Belinda, also, I have the chat room open for people that want to write in questions. And one of my favorite audience members, listeners, is Aloha Jay. And I don't even know if Jay's a woman or a man, but anyway, we're talking about, I was looking at your I was reading, and you've been firewalking?
When I was 40 years old, I got divorced after 18 years of marriage, and I felt like I had all these fears to conquer. I was afraid of everything. I had a real squeaky voice. I didn't know anything about the world. I felt like I was in a cloister for most of my life, and I was raised in a convent, and then I got expelled from Catholic school in eighth grade. So that was one of the liberating things in my life. But anyway, then I came in contact with someone who had done a fire walk with Anthony Robbins. And it was a woman, and she was a minister, and I had never heard of a woman minister. They were always priests. And I thought, wow, if she can do fire walking, I wonder if I could. So I went to one of these fire walks, and I did the walk across 2,000 degrees of hot coals, and I didn't get burned. And I was hooked on finding out how this worked. And I ended up being like a trainer with Tony Robbins for about 5 years and did 18 fire walks altogether, and burned once severely about the eighth time because my son was walking and I was concentrating on him and not on my own state. And once you get out of the state that you're not part of that fire, you become Swiss chard. You know, it doesn't work. You burn.
You become burnt toast. It's interesting because one of my girlfriends went last year, I believe, and she came back with both of her feet bandaged.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's not good. And that was Tony's firewalk?
It was Tony's. In fact, it was in the news last year. But the thing is, I know exactly what you're talking about because her daughters did it, and her daughters had no problem. So it's all mental. It's all mental.
Well, they have trainers there that are supposed to check the people before they walk across to make sure they're in state, in a real state of being grounded, and, you know, and if they're not, they should take them off the coals and not let them walk. Because if they get out of state, Tony, you know, he does a lot of preparation first, and you burn your fears, and you write your fears down on little pieces of paper, and then you burn them, and, you know, you build up your energy because you're, you know, we're all earth, air, fire, and water. We're all a mixture of all the elements. And so you build up the fire element in you, and when you do that, you become one with that fire, and you walk successfully.
Mm.
So I learned that when I was studying the ancient Hawaiian healing, you know, about the earth and the air and being grounded and being one with, you know, the element that you're in. And even with race car driving, I didn't understand how I would get so relaxed when I'd get in a car. And it was because I would go into this hakalau or peripheral vision where you're focused ahead, but you're spread out and you're seeing everything. So you go into a very relaxed state and you can't be anxious in that state. You're just one with everything. You're one with your car. You're one with, you don't have to move an inch. You just know who's on the right and left side of you, who's behind you, and you don't have to move your head at all.
Yeah.
So these
yeah.
were things that I learned studying Huna, and the fire walking made sense after that of why it worked.
It sounds just like Luke Skywalker too in a Star Wars when he had his equipment and he didn't even need it anymore. He just used his senses. I love that.
That's such a perfect example when Yoda was teaching him, you know, just be one with that. And it's so hard because you think you're not enough. So you just think, oh, I've got to try more. I've got to do more. And, you know, he says, try not. Just be it. Just be it. And it works. The strength comes from within you. And it's amazing.
Well, I really feel there is a shift going on. I mean, there are more people that you know, I'm just going to speak for myself. I was always searching for a feeling. I wanted to feel good. And I wanted to feel good all the time. And I thought that going on trips would make me feel good. Getting married is going to make me feel good. Accomplishing, you know, titles is going to make me feel good. And it just never, never did. I mean, it did for a second, and then it was gone. To me, it's like we're looking for this feeling. And the interesting thing is we're going to circle all the way back. We're going to circle all the way back to us. And realize that it is within, and all we have to do is want it, and all we have to do is make the commitment to it, and actually your life becomes easier because there's nothing you have to do. There's only what you're inspired to do. I mean, I used to think that I was lazy, and, you know, I just all these negative labels. And you know what? I am lazy, and I'm proud of it. I'm embracing my laziness. Not about being lazy. I love it. Feels good.
Well, you know how to relax. You have, I mean, why do some people, they travel all over the world and they see these people that are very poor and they have nothing, but they have their families or they have their friends, and they're so joyful with nothing. Why are they joyful with nothing? Because joy is something that doesn't cost money. It's something that you feel inside. It's your appreciation. It's your gratitude. It's your longingness just to be alive, to just breathe another day. And I realized that when all my money was taken away from me and my son was gone, and I had to just sell what I could sell just to live, you know, just to be alive. And I went to live with my daughter, and, you know, I felt like, you know, I didn't have things, but I had my family. I had a daughter, I had a grandson, and it sustained me, and I had friends. And all of a sudden, I was just so grateful. I was so joyful. And that's when I got into, you know, reconnective healing and had a session with that, and all my grief was lifted. And it led me to writing the book, which is something I never wanted to write, never wanted to do that. But it suddenly accelerated me on my soul path, and then that next chapter took place. And so it led me to, you know, something else, from nothing to, you know, to really expressing what real joy is, what real, your friggin' joy is right inside of you. And it's, you know, all of these steps that you can take because you're listening and you take action. And that's the whole thing. You can have all these ideas, but you still have to put them into action. And going back to the firewalk for a moment, the firewalk was just a metaphor for, you know, if you think that you can walk on something that's impossible to walk on, then you start saying to yourself, well, now what would I like to do in my life that I didn't think I could do? And so what came up for me was driving a race car. All of a sudden I wanted to drive a race car, and I thought, but you don't even know how to drive a stick shift. So where are you going to drive a race car? But then Tony's mantra is, if you can't, if you say you can't, then you must. And if you must, then you will. So I, you know, called a racetrack to find out where I could learn how to, you know, to drive a race car, and got connected with that. And sure enough, I go down there, and at the end of the course, I got hired to drive for Cadillac and for Buick, and that's what started my racing career.
Oh my. I've always wanted to be a race car driver, but I just do it on the residential streets. Did you say that out loud?
I didn't hear that, but I think that's great.
So Find Your Friggin' Joy. You said you never wanted, that's the name of her book, Find Your Friggin' Joy. And if you're in the chat room, you can write a question if you have a question, or you can even, you know what, you can even call in. I didn't even give out the number to call in. Audience. You can call in at area code 646-564-9619, area code 646-564-9619, if you have a question for Belinda, if you have a question for me. And so your book entitled Find Your Friggin' Joy. just title makes you smile. And you said you never even wanted to write or thought about writing. And how long ago did you write this book, and how did this book come about?
Well, again, I have three CDs. My expertise was in the Hawaiian chanting, and I wanted to help people, you know, overcome their fears. And so my very first audio cassette, which was more than 15 years ago, was Chant and Forgiveness. It was putting the forgiveness process on this little audio cassette with the chants, and taking people through how to guide them to cut cords, to dissolve their plaque and reach the higher self. So that became a CD, and then I did another CD called Enchantment, which was going from the chants from creation all the way up to the higher self and sounds of the dolphins and the whales, which help people to really feel inside the chants, like drumming. It just speaks to the cells that are sleeping that English can't connect to. And so I felt like I would help people more in that way than just in a book that, you know, everybody was writing books, and I didn't want to be another book sitting on a shelf. I wanted to really make a difference. And
yeah.
So I did another CD, and that was to help quiet your conscious mind and help you go to sleep, to help you go into the dream time, because people have a lot of sleep problems and mind chatter. So I never was on my radar to write a book until I had my reconnection done. And this is the healing that where strands and strings are drawn over your acupuncture points. It's Dr. Eric Pearl's work. And I had my reconnection done, which is done once in a lifetime. And after that happened, it was as though you're going to write a book. And I went, I'm going to write a book, and that'll be fine. And so that was 3 years ago. And I found the person who could help me organize it. It was so easy because I thought it was going to be hard. I thought I kept looking at the big picture, and it made me – I wasn't dissecting it down to little steps. I'm the kind of person who doesn't like to sit in front of the computer a lot and write. So I want to go out and play. I want to go do fun things. But I did this – pardon?
Let me ask you something. Let me just ask you a couple questions. So you said you did your reconnecting healing, and with who did you say? Can you go back over that name?
Yeah, Dr. Eric Pearl. He was the founder, was seated with these frequencies. It's called The Reconnection. He wrote a book called The Reconnection. And a friend of mine dragged me to see this DVD called The Living Matrix, which featured Dr. Pearl on this DVD. And Bruce Lipton and some other dignitaries about self-healing and about healing outside of the box. And it showed Dr. Pearl helping this little boy with cerebral palsy. He had done 3 sessions on him, didn't touch him at all. This is hands-off healing. And the little boy had gotten out of the wheelchair and was out in the playground playing just like a normal child and holding a cup for the first time. And it just gave me such chills to see that, the same way that I had been introduced to Huna 20 years before. And I had never felt that way, you know, since the Huna, as I did with this reconnected healing. So I found a practitioner in my area in Santa Cruz, got my first session, and all of my grief was lifted. And it was like I felt normal again. I had been carrying the grief. My son had killed himself 8 months before that, and I was just in the depths of despair and grief. Even though I was cutting cords and I was functioning, I didn't know how much heaviness was laying on my heart. And after that one session, I felt joyful again. I felt just absolutely light. So I called to find out where I could learn how to do this myself, and I was on a plane to Chicago. I got trained by Dr. Pearl and his amazing team, and then I started doing reconnective healing, and that was 4 years ago. And I've been doing that ever since. It's amazing because it's a new bandwidth of light and information that comes in, and you receive this information, and the frequencies go where they need to go inside of you to put you in balance. So you receive things that you're not even expecting. I had no idea what I was going to receive in that session, and I got lifted.
It sounds like I need some of that.
Yeah, well, you just look up The Reconnection, they're all over the world. They're in some different place almost every week in a different part of the world. He's taught this to over 100,000 people, and I'm taking the mentoring class this summer so I can maybe become a teacher of this. It's amazing. Well, it's new, but these frequencies are timeless. It's just that we're accessing them for the first time, and I believe they do come from our higher self, from the fifth dimension.
I believe that too. I mean, you know, now I have a question. I have a question from, I don't even know if this is a good, if this is a real question, but let me ask it anyway. Okay, this is the long word that starts with an H and a lot of O's in it. Hano, Po, Mono, help you with your friggin' joy. That was the question.
That's the Ho'o, Pono, Pono. Pono, Pono. Ho'o means to make, and Pono means right. So you're making right inside of yourself two times. You're making right two times. So that's the Hawaiians would meet at sunset as a family. They would clear up all their dissonance, their, you know, anger, anything within the family. They'd let it all go down into the water, you know, with the sunset.
Yeah.
Because they knew
yeah.
that it would block their passage to their higher connections. So absolutely. I mean, it's cleaning the plaque of your soul, these negative thought forms, so that you can reach your higher self. And once you reach your higher self, I mean, that's just, you know, the epitome of divinity, of your ecstasy.
Heaven on earth.
Yeah.
Now, would you be willing to share a chat with us, with my audience?
Oh, I would be honored to. I would love to. This one chant is the one I have written in the book, and so you can learn it. You know, it's on the CDs, and it helps you to just remove any kind of darkness that you have and to replace it with light and to replace it with a feeling of protection. And it is like carrying a gun with you, you know, because you can chant that and any kind of, you know, danger around you seems to just melt away. So just feel. Right now, just take a deep breath. Hai noho ana ke akuya ikanai hele hele hi ale hi a hi a he te ti ohu ohu e tau o koko hana kino malu I kalani malu e ho. He oho ulu mahi anoho kanehi kona kahu ho anoa uahike.
I was just engaged and oh, thank you. Wow.
It's not just me that's chanting, it's the whole lineage of the people
yeah.
that chanted that before me that come in and assist me, because when you start to chant it just comes from a different dimension. It's coming from the heart. Because I don't necessarily have that great a voice, singing voice, but these chants resonate from your heart. When you put your hand there and you start to chant, it's a resonation of that heart chakra.
I was thinking, I was like, wow, she's really good singer. So now you explain that too. I understand that. I get that.
Right, and there's another chant that you can learn, your listeners can learn. It's so simple. It's the EO chant, and I call it the cosmic eraser. I mean, when you chant it, it erases everything that doesn't need to belong there. So it's like you get to create in the space of the Akashic, of the purple-black. And I live here in Santa Cruz, and a few months ago there was a crime that happened right behind my house, and it was unspeakable. Two officers were shot and killed for no reason, just a routine call, and the shooter hid right behind the fence and jumped over and came in front of my place and was killed in the driveway, and it was a horrible thing that that happened here, and I had like symptoms of PTSD. You know, because I saw him when he died, and you know, the whole thing. I was here. I had clients here, and I used this chant, this EO chant, to erase it so that I could sleep again. Because I would close my eyes, and you know, I would still be in that, you know, in that event that was happening. And so, it's very simple. You just breathe back your problems or whatever you're trying to let go of. You breathe it back to the purple black or behind your eyes. And then as you come in, as you exhale in, you go, so it's just a long exhale with those three tones. And you do it about 11 times, you know, breathing back all the stuff that's, you know, the stresses, breathing back all the stresses into that purple black space. And as you come in, you do the creation sound. And then eventually, you know, after 11 times, you tingle, you just feel good again. And you can do that before you go to sleep at night even.
I like that. Thank you for that. I'm 11 times. Why not 12 times?
I don't know. 11 times. 11 is a power number. It's just, you know, a wonderful power number. And I don't question it. You can maybe do it 12 and see how it feels with 12.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 times of Israel, so.
Mm-hmm. Now, so that's a really interesting event that you're talking about with you know, the shooters and what happened in your house. And so are you saying that for you, if you were not able to do the chant, then you would have still been disturbed, I mean, bothered by this event.
Yes.
In other words, your body, your soul, you need to do these chants for you.
Yes. I mean, for instance, I live in a courtyard where there's five little townhomes. I'm at the very end of the courtyard, and there's another, you know, person that's in the very front. So in between, you know, A, B, C, D, and E. I'm E, she's A. The three people in between weren't home when this happened. But A was home, and I was home, E. So I've gotten over all of this, but my neighbor in A still suffers from, you know, just not being able to sleep. And it's been February, March, April, May. It's been 3 months. And I've talked, she's, you know, she's read the book. But, you know, you have to want to do these things.
Yeah.
You have to want to let go, or you have to want to heal. And it brings up something that, you know, some people may want to stay in their suffering.
Yeah.
Because they can talk about it. They can relate to other people who have also suffered. And, you know, that's where they are. And you have to respect that, because that's individual. But, you know, I didn't want to stay in my suffering. I wanted to move on.
You know, and then you're bringing up another great point, and that is this journey is such a personal one.
Yes.
And what I want, and what the other, you know, I can, you know, before years ago, I would look at everyone else and say, well, they need to do this, and they need to, and they need to, and they should, it took me the last, you know, really 2 years or so to start accepting. This is, honestly, this is what they wanted. This is what they've created. This is what they have to go through. And everything is in order for them. It's like one of my favorite new spiritual dudes is Kanash Tisi. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he says it's like we're all part of this this magnificent tree, and the tree has roots, and the tree has the trunk, and the leaves, and the branches, and all the things that make up a tree. And without any of those things, it wouldn't be this beautiful tree. So I've realized that these people need, I say these people, these people, they need to, without judgment, hopefully, they need to experience that, and then me accepting. You know, one of the greatest gifts that I feel that I can give others is my acceptance of where they are, who they are, what they're going through, without, you know, without giving them advice. And I use right. my mother a lot, because, boy, that woman is so screwed up. Oh no, I didn't say that out loud.
Well, we have to have the contrast, too, or we'd live in a very boring world, you know. We have to have, you know, all kinds of things. We're the saint, we're the sinner, we're, you know, we're the light and the dark. And so you have to embrace all of it and accept yourself for having that shadow side within ourselves as well, you know, that we carry the same seeds as maybe we see in the other person.
That's
the whole point of the Ho'oponopono, is that if I can see it in somebody else, then I must be holding the seeds in myself, even though they're unconscious. So I have to clean myself. I have to heal myself. I have to forgive myself of what I'm seeing in that person. So I must do that Ho'oponopono for myself, and then I'll look at that other person in a different way. With more compassion.
And you're absolutely right. Anything that I see, like I just said, you know, jokingly, you know, crazy, well, then I must be. And that was a really, Belinda, that was a really hard one to chew and digest. Yeah. That I'm looking at somebody else and I, you know, making a don't like that, and that's really me. Ugh, that did not feel good.
Oh. That's a lot of courage. You have a lot of courage.
Well, I have no choice. I have no choice. I want it so bad. And honestly, I tell my audience the story. And when I, you know, when you make wishes, when you blow out your candles and the birthday cake, and you know, throw a coin into the lake, I only wish for two things. And the first one was to live to my potential. And the second one was to be happy. That's all I want, and this happiness, this, you know, I use it, and also it's a vibrational thing. It's more of a vibrational, my vibration, my connectedness, all of it is life changing. It's life changing. It's not taking anything personally. It's not taking anything serious. It's no expectations. There's no attachments. It's no, you know, something's wrong. Oh, God. How? And you said something earlier about writing your book, and you said you didn't know how it's going to do. That's one of the things I do. I don't even care how. I know if I ask, it's going to be given. And I'm not even involved in the how. That's all universal, all universal. So I've given it up. I've given up this control, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and the universe is driving.
Well, you're a breath of fresh air, Rebecca. It's a breath of fresh air.
So are you, Belinda. You see, so are you. I mean, as soon as I saw your videos yesterday, I could not wait for today. I could feel what a good fit that you are with. You know, we're just energy finds like energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what you give to your listeners, I mean, they get to listen to you and be inspired by you, and you know, check their own life, and it's you know, it's a cosmic soup that you're creating.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I feel very fortunate. Let me just share a story. Yesterday, I'm an aerobic instructor, and yesterday I was teaching a cycling class. I don't know if you, or spinning is the same thing.
Right. Huh?
And I have been doing it for over 30 years, and sometimes I wear my hair in this wash and wear. I have really, really curly hair, so I have this big fro. And yesterday I had my big fro. I was donning this, you know, this hairdo. And a woman that was in the class, she had never seen that my hair in that condition. You know, usually softer curls or blow dried or, you know, little bit straighter. So when I came in the room and my hair is in this big fro, she looked at me and she says, "Wow, your hair looks really angry."
Oh no.
Yeah, yeah. But see, that's the thing. One of the things that I tell my listeners, if someone had made a comment about how I look or look, you know, you look tired years ago, it would have ruined my day. Ruined my day.
Yeah.
But yesterday I said, and she said it in front of everyone, so I've had to eliminate this embarrassment gene, and I've also had to eliminate having my feelings hurt or come on, you can't hurt my feelings. So when she said that my hair looked angry, I actually started laughing, and I said, "You know what? I said, I've never heard that before." I said, "But I prefer to say that my hair is just really, really, really excited."
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. And that was her projection. You know, you could say, that's your projection of anger. It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just a way.
Excited. What'd she say? Yeah. What did she say in response to that?
She says, because, you know, in front of 30 people, and she says, "You know, you're right. It does look excited. I prefer excited." You know, when people say things, and honestly, if you think their intention is to hurt, it's really not to you. It's really whatever's going on inside with them. So
absolutely.
I know it's not personal, and I just don't take anything like that personally. I just say, "Wow, you must be having one of your challenging days." And
I have a chapter in the book. I have a chapter in my book on the button pushers, and she was someone who pushed your buttons, but you knew how to respond. So it's again kind of like the violet. I mean, the violet forgiveness is when the heel that has crushed, I mean, you had no anger inside of you to give back to her. So you were just coming from a place of love, and, you know, you were sharing what you had inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say,
forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has just crushed it.
I've heard that, and I love that.
Yeah. So that's what happened. You got crushed, but you just gave, you know, it was forgiveness. It was love, because that's all that's inside of you. So even though she pushed your button, you know, it didn't respond in the old way.
Well, let me say this, Belinda. This is just between you and me and the audience and my thousands of listeners. getting to this point, I don't have any more buttons.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Anyone can get there. Anyone can get there. Of course, it doesn't happen overnight, but there really aren't any more buttons. I mean, I've heard it all. You should hear some of the things my mother tells me, not talking about, but I don't have any more buttons. So they're pushing and pushing, and there's nothing there to push.
Well, that's why you're a role model. That's why you are who you are, and you've reached the population, and now you get to share that so everyone else can feel that freedom.
Yeah, and that's all it is, and it's just a matter of wanting it. Oh my God, only 90 seconds left in the show. I cannot believe it. Can you?
Oh my God.
Can you? I know. Gosh. we have to do this again. I mean, you are. I feel the connection so strong.
Yeah.
But let me say thank you so much, Belinda Farrell. And her website is www.hunahealing. I'll spell that, H-U-N-A, healing, hunahealing.com. And it has been a delight. And her latest book, is Find Your Friggin' Joy. Find Your Friggin' Joy. And I want to thank all my listeners. I will be back again tomorrow, and the tomorrow show is just going to be with me and you, my dear listeners, and thank you for listening. And if you want to email me, You can at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. You can go to my website at www.RebeccaNorrington.com. But thank you again, Belinda. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
Again, please pick up her book. It's amazing. You can feel what an amazing woman she is. Huna, www.HunaHealing.com. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, Belinda.
Mahalo. Mahalo.
Mahalo. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.